Ever get that feeling like you want to really understand something, like something kind of complex, but without having to like wade through a ton of textbooks?
Oh, absolutely. I
Yeah.
think we all do, yeah.
Well, today we're doing just that. And we're zeroing in on a really, really important part of medicine that often doesn't get talked about much.
Right.
And it's how we figure out if a drug is going to stay effective and safe, like, from the time it's made until it could actually end up in your medicine
Yeah,
cabinet.
that's key.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we're talking about its stability and shelf life.
Yep.
It's super important because it makes sure that those treatments that we all rely on are actually going to work when we need them.
Right. Exactly. It's the foundation of everything. You got to know that what you're taking is going to actually do what it's supposed to do. And for this deep dive,
Yeah.
we've got a whole bunch of really interesting info from what happens when drugs break down to all the regulations and stuff that make sure this whole process is done right. And I think our goal here is to break it down, kind of like give you the core principles so you understand the essentials of how we guarantee a drug's quality throughout its entire life, from beginning to end,
Right.
without getting bogged down in, all the super technical stuff.
Right, because it's not something you normally talk about at dinner, right?
No, not really.
Drug stability. But, when you think about it, it's like the thing that's kind of silently protecting us, right?
Yeah.
With every single prescription we get filled, every over-the-counter thing we buy,
That's a great point.
Yeah. I mean, if a drug's not stable, it's not going to work the way it should, right?
Yep.
It might not have that therapeutic effect. And then worst case scenario, it could even like create bad byproducts.
Yeah, absolutely.
So understanding like how a drug's lifespan is established, it's actually super relevant to all of us.
It is, definitely. Yeah. And with all that said, I think it's important to lay out what we're gonna talk about. We're gonna go through the main parts of this whole area, and we'll look at the specific tests that are done. We'll look at how scientists take that data that they get and figure out what it means.
Okay.
And we'll even touch upon some real world stuff that shows why these concepts are important, in the real world.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Okay, so the first thing I noticed is this term stability indicating methods.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of technical.
It does, yeah.
But what's the basic idea here?
Well, basically, a stability indicating method, it's a very precise analytical technique. And what it's designed to do is it's designed to measure very specifically how much of the active ingredient is in a drug product,
Okay.
but it also measures any substances that it might degrade into over time.
Oh, wow.
So you're looking at the good stuff and the stuff that's changed. And what's really crucial about these methods is they're able to tell the difference between the active drug and those breakdown products without interference from all the other stuff that's in the formulation.
Okay.
So that's things like fillers and coatings.
Okay, so it's almost like we have this really, really powerful lens that allows us to see exactly what happens over time
It is.
and to just focus on the active component, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And in pharmaceutical analysis, the textbook we have,
Yeah.
there's this great example with butorphanol.
Yes.
Can you unpack that a little?
Yeah, so in the book, figure 9.38, it shows how they use something called HPLC,
Okay.
which is high performance liquid chromatography coupled to ESMS.
Okay.
That's electrospray ionization mass spectrometry.
Okay.
And they use this to find and analyze impurities and degradants, which are just those breakdown products.
Yeah.
In butorphanol, when it's in a water-based solution. And what's really cool is this tool, this method, it doesn't just, find these breakdown products. It
Right.
actually lets scientists figure out what they look like chemically,
Oh,
your
wow.
structure.
Okay.
So in the case of butorphanol, they found a few degradants, including hydroxybutorphanol, ring contracted butorphanol, there's ketobutorphanol, and 1110 butorphanol. And each one of these has a unique mass to charge ratio.
Wow, that's incredible. So we're not just talking about like a general breakdown, but you're actually seeing what's happening at a molecular level.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And this brings us to another point that was mentioned, the need for validated analytical methods.
Right.
Why is it so important that these methods are validated?
It's super important. Validation is it's the key because it makes sure that the tests that we're using are accurate, that they're reliable, and they give us the same results every time we use them.
Right, yeah.
We have to be certain that that what we're seeing, that data we're getting, it's a true reflection of the drug stability.
Right.
And it's not because, you know, there's some problem with the testing procedure itself.
Okay.
So the ICH Q6A guideline, which is in our materials,
right,
it talks specifically about what needs to be done, the requirements for specifications for the test procedures, and what criteria we need to accept new drug substances and products.
Okay.
So it really underlines, emphasizes how important these validated methods are.
Got it. So they're like setting a standard,
exactly,
right, for how these tests should be done.
Exactly.
And I'm assuming it's not just butorphanol that gets this kind of like close attention.
Oh, no, not at all.
The textbook also mentions famotidine.
Yeah. So figure 9.37 in that textbook, it shows how they use mass spectrometry to identify the degradants, those breakdown products of famotidine.
Okay.
And similar to the butorphanol example, they get these really detailed mass spectra under different MSMS conditions. That's tandem mass spectrometry.
Okay.
And this gives them a really good understanding of what structural changes happen when famotidine breaks down.
Got it. So we can really see through these examples,
yeah,
you know, how powerful these stability indicating methods,
yeah,
are,
yeah, yeah,
and how they help us to really understand what happens to a drug over time.
Yeah.
Right. And this kind of leads us into how these stability studies are actually done.
Right.
So it's more than just one test, right?
Oh, absolutely. Stability studies they're designed very carefully to simulate kind of like all the different conditions that a drug product might face,
right,
throughout its journey from, you know, when it's made to when it gets to the patient.
Wow.
So this involves taking both the raw drug substance,
okay,
and the final, you know, formulated product and exposing it to a bunch of different environmental factors. So we're talking temperature, humidity, even the light. And this is done for extended periods. And the goal is to sort of speed up the natural breakdown process so that scientists can really see what's happening, what breakdown products are being made, and understand how the drug breaks down.
Okay, got it.
So this accelerated testing, it helps us predict how the drug's likely to behave under normal storage conditions over its shelf life.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we have these really sophisticated methods, right,
yeah,
to really see what's happening.
Right.
And we're kind of putting them through these stress tests.
Exactly.
So let's talk a little bit more about the actual protocols themselves, right? Like,
yeah,
the testing protocols. What would a typical one look like?
So they're very comprehensive. They're designed to look at every critical aspect of a drug product's stability.
So,
it's not just about, you know, is the chemical structure changing?
Right.
You look at the physical stuff, too. So you look at how it looks. You look at how quickly it dissolves. If it's a solid aphraria, you look at the particle size. And you also got to check to see if it's microbiologically stable.
Okay.
So you want to make sure it doesn't get contaminated with anything nasty over its shelf life.
Oh, okay. So it's looking at everything.
That's
right?
It.
It's not just one.
It's everything.
And in the good drug regulatory practices, the document we have,
yeah,
it really focuses on the importance of testing both the drug substance,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
and then the final drug product.
Right.
Why is it important to make that distinction?
Well, because the active drug substance, when it's on its own, it might behave a bit differently than when it's all mixed together with the other ingredients.
Okay.
In the final product.
Right.
So those inactive ingredients, the way it's manufactured, even the packaging.
Right.
All that can affect how stable the active ingredient is.
Got it.
So that's why, you know, the regulators want stability data on both the raw material and the finished product.
Right.
To get a really good picture.
Makes sense.
And in section C.7.1.3 of the good drug regulatory practices, they really emphasize the needed for test methods and specifications for both.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense, because the final product is ultimately what we're going to use,
that
right?
Exactly.
The patient's going to use. So we need to be really, really sure that it's stable.
Absolutely.
In that form.
Right.
And speaking of the final form, our CFR Title 21 regulations, they point out how important it is to test the container's enclosures.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that a concern?
Well, think of it like this. The container enclosure system, they're the bodyguards.
Right.
They're protecting the drug product from everything outside.
Right.
So these components, they need to be tested to make sure they're not going to react with the drug.
Right.
That they can keep moisture and other things out. Mm-hmm. And really importantly, that they're not going to leak any harmful stuff into the product.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And this is all in 21 CFR 211.84A3. They actually mandate this testing. Or they say, you know, you can accept a certificate certificate of testing from a good supplier, you know, as long as the drug manufacturer actually verifies those results.
Got it. So even the packaging is under scrutiny, right?
Oh, yeah.
To make sure it doesn't mess up the drug.
Yeah.
And it sounds like for some really specialized drug products like PEEKI drugs, which are
positron emission tomography drugs, they use them in imaging.
Right, right. The requirements for testing the incoming components might be a little different.
Yeah, so 21 CFR 212.6B1, it says that if the testing that you do on the final PEEKI drug product, if it includes checks to make sure the right components were used, then the requirements for testing each incoming component aren't as strict.
Okay.
So basically, looking at a certificate of analysis from the supplier might be enough.
Right.
But if they don't do that, if that final testing doesn't cover that,
right,
then you got to do more rigorous testing on every single ingredient, you know, active and inactive.
Yeah. Got to make sure you got the right stuff.
It's interesting how the regulations are so specific, you know,
yeah,
to different types of products.
Right.
So we're getting all this data from these, you know, very rigorous stability studies.
Right.
How do scientists take that data and actually figure out how long a drug's going to stay effective?
So it's a process. They take that data and they analyze it very carefully.
Okay.
To see how fast the drug breaks down
uh-huh.
under all those different conditions.
Okay.
And this uses something called degradation kinetics, which is basically the study of how the concentration of the drug changes over time.
Got it.
And things like temperature, they can really affect how fast a drug breaks down.
Right.
So they look at this relationship very closely.
Okay.
Using mathematical models and all that.
So generally speaking, like a higher temperature will lead to a faster breakdown.
Most of the time, yes.
Okay.
Which is why doing those accelerated stability studies at higher temperatures gives us so much good information.
Right. You can see how it's going to behave under stress.
Got it.
And there are these regulatory guidelines like the ICHQ1A.
Okay.
And they provide frameworks for how to design these studies.
Right.
And how to use that data to figure out what the shelf life of the drug is.
Right.
Under normal conditions.
And ultimately, that is what determines, like, the storage instructions that we see.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
On the label.
Yeah. So all that, whether it needs to be kept in the fridge,
right,
whether it needs to be protected from light, whether it can be at room temperature, all of that comes from those stability studies.
Okay.
The goal is to make sure that the drug's good.
Right.
Until that expiration date, as long as you store it properly.
So what happens if you have a batch of a drug substance,
yeah,
right? And it hits its expiration date.
Okay.
But when they do further testing, it seems like it's still stable.
Yeah.
Can they extend the usability of that?
So 21 CFR 211.16666 allows for retesting.
Okay.
To extend the usability, but only if the data supports it.
Right.
So this retesting, it has to be done properly.
Right.
It's got to be documented.
Right.
And it's got to show that the drug substance still meets all those quality standards.
Well,
it's not just about how it looks. You got to prove it with analysis.
Right. It's not just an arbitrary thing.
No.
Okay.
It has to be based on evidence.
So what about if there are changes made to the manufacturing process or the formulation of a drug,
yeah,
does that affect the shelf life that they already figured out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And any big changes to how a drug is made or the ingredients, it can totally change its stability.
Oh, yeah.
So the regulators, they usually ask for more stability studies after those changes are made, just to make sure that those modifications haven't messed up the drug's quality or the shelf life.
Right. So it's constant, like, vigilance, right?
Yeah.
To make sure that these medications are good.
Yeah. You got to keep checking, you know, got to be sure.
So our sources, they don't really give us, like, specific case studies in the way that we might think of them, like, you know, stories.
Right, right.
But yeah, we can definitely see how these principles are used in the real world.
Oh, yeah.
In some of the details.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, that Bodorfanal degradants analysis.
Yeah.
It really shows all the work that goes into understanding stability.
Right.
So understanding these specific breakdown products, it's not just, like, you know, theoretical.
No, it's practical.
It helps manufacturers to change their formulations or the packaging.
Right, exactly.
To prevent these substances that might not be as effective.
Or could even be harmful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From forming in the first place.
Yeah.
So it directly affects the medicine.
Exactly, you got it.
Yeah.
And if we look at saxagliptin, which was mentioned in accounts and drug discovery,
Right.
it comes off its target molecule in the body really slowly.
Okay.
It has a half-life of like 50 minutes at body temperature.
Okay.
So this means it's pretty stable in a biological system. Now,
Okay.
this isn't like a traditional shelf life study.
Right.
For something in a bottle.
Right.
But it shows how important it is to understand how a drug interacts and stays effective over time,
Right.
which is kind of the same idea.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And when we think about, developing formulations specifically for children, like we saw in drug development, a case study based insight,
Right.
stability's got to be a huge consideration there too, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a liquid medication for a child
Totally
is
different.
going to have totally different requirements
Yeah.
and challenges than like a tablet, right?
Absolutely.
Huge difference.
And the development of sustained release formulations, they talk about that in developing solid oral dosage forms.
Right.
That requires a ton of stability testing,
Right.
right?
Oh, yeah.
Because that mechanism that controls how the drug is released over time,
Right.
it's got to stay intact. It's got to work right the whole time.
The whole shelf life.
Right.
Absolutely.
So even without specific, dramatic case studies, the need for all this testing and
Yeah.
this accurate shelf life prediction,
Yeah.
it's in everything.
It is. It's built in. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just to wrap up, we've seen how important those stability indicating methods are
Yeah.
to understanding how drugs change over time.
Right.
We looked at all these really comprehensive tests that they go through
Yeah.
to see how resilient they are under different conditions.
Right.
And we talked about how they take all that data and then they figure out the shelf life
Yeah.
and what storage is needed. It's
Exactly.
all about making sure that the medicines that we rely on
Right.
are
Are
good.
good quality and they're safe.
Yeah.
And it gets us to a final thought I want to leave you with.
Okay.
Think about all this stuff that happens behind the scenes. All these tests, the regulations, the scientists,
Yeah.
it all affects the medicines you take every day. So what questions does this bring up for you about, how good pharmaceutical products are over time
Right.
and the science that makes them reliable?
It really makes you think about that expiration date on the box a little differently.
It does.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We hope this was a good shortcut to being well informed.
Absolutely.
Keep questioning and keep learning. We'll see you next time.